With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We're recording. At least we hope so.
Yeah, I mean, we think so, guys. This is going to be by the grace of Jesus Christ himself if we get this.
Oh, jeez, we've been having issues. Anyways.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
There's a car going off in the background.
Like going off, okay?
We're two black-ass girls. And made the whitest show on earth, The Bachelor. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
Live from Harlem.
Listen, happy Black History Month,
happy
everybody.
Black History Month, y'all. I'm going to need somebody to black to come in, turn this car off real quick. Please. In the name of Frederick Douglass, can we not do this right now?
Oh, Freddie.
Is this still just going to go off?
I think so.
So we're back, guys. We had to pause for a second so that car could shut the fuck up. And we just finished watching the Vietnam episode. They're in Vietnam now.
I'm so jealous.
Vietnam is literally my dream. Yep. If people ever ask, like, where in the world do you want to travel? Usually the place I say is Vietnam.
Yeah.
Because I love Southeast Asia. I've been to Thailand. Thailand's great and all, but I've been in love with Vietnam ever since contemporary history class, senior year of high school.
Whoa.
Where we learned all about the Vietnam War, which is not, I mean, the way to fall in love.
Vacation destination.
Not really, but since then, I've always been fascinated with Vietnam.
Okay.
And how it's become now this, like, vacation, beautiful destination, given, like, the such rich history it has, particularly a very contentious history with the United States of America. So I'm glad that they were featuring it, and so excited. It just made me want to go even more.
Yeah, me too.
Anyways, interesting episode. Kind of a gloomy, grim episode.
I was cringing the whole time.
Cringing and kind of sad.
Really sad. Yeah. Really sad that, like, a lot of my predictions are coming true.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So go into it. What are your initial thoughts?
Okay. So I think it's very interesting that Colton is having the exact same talk with multiple people.
Which talk is this?
The talk of, like, he had three girls in a row say to him, like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I don't remember this from Ari's season. I just don't remember these girls being so desperate for this man to open up in Ari's season. I feel like it wasn't this bad. First of all, two women have not sent themselves home. I have not seen that before.
Yeah,
so Colton, my brother, you got to do something about this.
Yeah. Tonight's episode was a slaughter.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Uh-huh.
And also, I'm really sad that Demi's gone. I feel like it's going to be boring without her here.
Yeah.
And quips and comments.
I'm
so sad.
Our girl Demi, yo, she turned it up. Now she's gone. What the hell are we gonna do?
Yep, I was really looking forward to that hometown. Yes. For multiple reasons. I wanted to see what the mom was like, but I wanted to see how she was different now that the mom is back.
Yeah, like Demi, at home Demi, who's not playing up in front of the cameras and shit. Like, what is that, Demi? Yeah.
What is that like? And how did she change? How does she feel with her mom being out? What's her mom doing now that she's out? Yeah. Like, so I was really sad about that. But what are your initial thoughts, friend?
So, first off, Colton was not making any moves this episode.
Zero.
So, that sound clip, you ain't gonna hear that this week. That's for sure. Colton just clearly is not ready for marriage.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's not. Ugh. He's here looking for a girlfriend. Because he's clearly, he's looking for someone he can have fun with, who he can laugh with, go on adventures with. That's not, like, a wife, I feel like.
No. He keeps saying wife, and he really doesn't sound sure.
No, it doesn't sound sure, and it doesn't sound like he's actually looking for a wife. A wife is someone who can hold conversations. Someone who you can build a deep emotional connection with. Mm-hmm. Someone who's going to challenge you. Mm-hmm. Like, but he keeps, I mean, the whole league of 22-year-old blondes that just keep making it to every episode. Mm-hmm. You're looking for a girlfriend, something pretty that can be on your arm, and you can go to red carpet events and make cute Instagram photos. But, like, that's not a wife, as Sydney put it. And I appreciate Sydney because she really broke it all the way down.
Yeah, she did.
On this episode. And, yeah, I don't know. It's just, the same, it's kind of the same old that we're watching each season. I mean, each episode.
Yeah, definitely each, it's definitely Groundhog Day.
Yes.
this season.
Yeah.
It's getting weird.
Yeah, the group dates are getting the same. The girls, like I said, the league of 22-year-old blondes who have nothing interesting to say. There's like four of them left. They all blend together. They're not saying much.
They'd be gone by now.
They're all still here. Like, you would think by now he'd trim the fat, but they are literally all still here. We are learning nothing about any of them.
No.
They're still not impressing me.
Nope.
And the girls of substance, sorry, the women of substance, are literally sending themselves home because they cannot take this anymore. I can't.
Oh my God.
I'm ready for the episode where he jumps the fence. Just put that out there.
Oh, so ready.
I thought it was tonight, but it's next week.
So did I from what he tweeted, but
I know. Lies. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are my initial thoughts. Nice. Shout out to Cardi B. Real quick. Sorry.
Shout out to Cardi B. She's the first female rapper.
Yes, first solo woman to win for best rap album. So proud of her. I just love her to death.
Me too.
So shout out to her. Happy Black History
Month. Did you see her performance?
No, I'm still behind. I haven't seen anything. I just saw the clip a while ago of her acceptance speech. Everything.
It was the best performance of the night, yeah.
Oh,
for
sure. Really? I'm going to watch that as soon as we finish this.
Yep.
Can't wait. All right. As we always say, rate, review, subscribe. Appreciate you guys. Mm-hmm. We don't ask for anything, but please rate us and write us a nice little review. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then for your own convenience, subscribe. So you get a notification when we post new episodes and you don't tweet us every 5 seconds asking when the new episode is coming. You subscribe and you get the notification. Yeah, how about that?
Just get it.
See how that works? We are on Twitter. We live tweet. It's a good time. Our handle is the number 2 BLK, girls, the number 1 Rose.
We also have email, the number 2 blackgirls1rose@gmail.com. You can email us and we shout you out every week.
Mm-hmm. And we're on Instagram. If you are listening to us right now, screenshot your whatever the hell you're listening to us on. Tag us in your Instagram story. We always repost it to our own Instagram story. I also love when people tag or, like, show themselves.
Videos.
We live for those. Videos. Yeah. We've had people send us videos of their kids, like, literal babies crawling.
Which, you guys, don't blame us when your kid says nigga at school.
Somebody sent this last week. It was so cute. It was this little kid. He was, like, crawling under the table. And the mom was listening to us, like, I guess on speaker. And I definitely dropped an F-bomb. And the kid is, like, crawling under the table. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is terrible. / I love this.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
So tag us in your story. Show your face. We love it. Wave to us. Yeah. Tell us what you think. And we obviously repost it. Or if you don't want us to repost it, that's fine. You can send us a little private video. I'll take that too. Mm-hmm. And what else I wanted to say? Merch. We got merch. Keep shouting out the merch. My mug gets used every day. Okay.
Every day.
Our merch is on Teespring, teespring.com/twoblackgirlsonerose.
Yay.
So before we get into the recap, you know, Justine has some beautiful church announcements. Whip out your program. Let's go to church.
So, we had some love in the inbox this week. Thank you guys so much. Shout out to Beth and Megan, two new emailers this week. And Beth was shouted us out and was part of Lesbian Bachelor Nation as well. So shout out to you guys.
Yes. Love it.
And then we got a couple of emails from Julia and Chandra about Biola.
Biola University.
Biola University, which was the college that both Heather and Cassie went to, which totally explains their whole backstories for the show. Mm-hmm. And we got that in our inbox and also in the Instagram DMs heavy.
Yeah.
Too. We got that message.
It's a private evangelical Christian college.
Mm-hmm. Where you gotta sign a contract that says you won't have sex or drink.
Right. Hence why Heather has never been kissed, mm-hmm. and why Cassie had that whole confusing conversation about not being a virgin. Here's the context. Now we get it.
Yep. And why Heather dated someone for 8 months and didn't kiss them.
Exactly.
Now this makes sense.
Right. Bachelor got these girls looking nuts. The way they edited these two girls got them looking straight nuts because they refused to have a conversation just to mention religion or just to mention I went to a private Christian college and these were my values and why I haven't kissed anybody. Mm-hmm. Instead, they got Heather out here looking crazy and Cassie confusing the hell out of everybody because they did not want to give us this context. So that's the context, y'all, for those who didn't know.
That's it. You got any news for us this week?
I do have a little Bachelor Nation news, teeny tiny. So baby Becca Martinez,
oh my God,
gave birth.
She had her baby.
Yes, beautiful baby.
Oh my God, her baby looks like it's face-tuned.
Yeah.
Her baby is so gorgeous.
Really gorgeous. And I don't even be saying that because I think most babies look ugly. Yeah. But that baby is beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful baby girl. Her name is Ruth Ray De La Lutz.
Listen, her name is a lot.
Ruth Ray De La Lutz Leonard, a.k.a. Ruthie Ray is her like little nickname. Mm-hmm. Becca did a water birth.
I know. I saw. I really want one.
What?
Too.
I knew, bitch, she was going to say that. You saw me looking at your face. Justine, you guys, is like, she's been wanting to be a mother for forever. She has that maternal itch. I'm on the other spectrum. I want kids, just not anytime soon. And what is a water birth? Why do you want one? Oh, what is this?
You blow it up and you put it in the middle of the kitchen. Okay.
Ew.
And you sit there and nude pretty much. Mm-hmm. And you have like a couple of people holding your back and you're just sitting there pushing. And then you push the baby out into the body. The baby's born in water.
Why, though?
Because it's better for the baby to not have as much, like, medication in your body.
Okay.
And it's more comfortable for the mom to be sitting in water versus to be, obviously, like, in any other surface. Like, even on the bed.
Yeah.
It's even, like, better than that.
And it's a full natural birth, so she's not getting any medication.
No
oh,
medication
hell
at all.
No. Okay. So the same for me. And then I feel like I've seen videos where the husband's like in the water too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm. That's
God.
A lot. That's doing the most. I would never.
Because there's so much fluid coming out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Oof.
I mean, it takes a lot of fluid to make a baby.
It does.
But
it does.
Still, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to Becca. I know she posting the pictures of the water birth definitely had women thinking and, you know, starting to research what is this water birth thing. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Shout out to whatever the name of the place is that she tagged. I'm sure they're getting some inquiries now.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And free the nipple.
And free the nipple because her titties were all out here.
All out. Yep.
Love it. So that was that. Other teeny tiny piece of news. Robert Mills. He's an ABC executive. Who, mm-hmm. Produces The Bachelor, also follows us on Twitter. So shout out to
Hey Bobby.
To Robert. he gave an interview to ET Online saying that Colton's finale is going to be nuts. Now, I know they say this all the time. It's going to be like the most dramatic, the most this, the whatever, whatever. He said, quote, "But this finale to me goes in the pantheon of Strange, along with Ari, Jason Mesnick's, Juan Pablo, Brad Womack. This one's crazy. Everyone would be talking about it." What the fuck is about to happen in Colton's finale? He just named like the four craziest Bachelor finales. Ari with the switcheroo, Jason Mesnick with the switcheroo, Juan Pablo, who would not say I love you.
You're okay.
I mean, I guess I'll take you.
I guess.
And then Brad Womack, who chose nobody. So what is Colton about to do?
I think Colton's about to choose nobody.
You think so?
I dead ass think so. I know they previewed him with that little ring box. I think that ring box is going to be a necklace.
Oh shit.
And I think he's just gonna be like, fine. And then maybe the girl's gonna be like, but you said you're ready for marriage, and then go into the Subaru and leave.
Oh my god.
And he'll be left there brokenhearted.
That could happen. Hopefully. That could happen. Mm-hmm. Or I wonder if the two girls that are left he's gonna realize are not the two, and he's gonna want somebody else that he said hold back. They're gonna fly in. Like,
yo, Elise.
I know they're gonna fly in Elise like five episodes back. And the two, his final two, he doesn't pick either of them. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh man. So yeah.
I was like, I'm just so stuck on Sydney.
Yeah. Someone we like, Sydney or someone completely random. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, can't wait to see. I mean, I know they hype up the finale, but when he threw out those names and said Colton's in that same boat. I don't know. I think we might have a good finale on our hands, so we will have to see. But are we ready for the recap?
Ready.
Let's dig on in. So we pick back up in Thailand after Colton storms away from Nicole and Onyeka.
Mm-hmm.
And they're two dumbasses just fighting. Nicole says, you know, Onyeka's actions have jeopardized my relationship with Colton. Bitch, your own actions have jeopardized.
Yeah, what?
Onyeka started it, but you finished it. You finished the jeopardy of your own relationship. So, Onyeka, she immediately goes back to the girls and asks them, like, do any of you think I've bullied you? And they all were like, no. Saying no truthfully or saying no because they're scared that she might bully them. Could be either one. Nicole returns. She's crying and still protesting that Onyeka has bullied her. Demi said it best when she said Nicole and Onyeka have dug their own graves.
Yep.
Which is, yep, exactly true. So we go into the rose ceremony. Two girls are going home. First rose goes
I wonder who.
First rose went to Kaylin, then Tasia. Then he called Kirpa, and I was like, oh shit, Kirpa's still here.
I thought about that too. With her Band-Aid on her chin.
Band-Aid still on the chin. Still haven't heard not a lick of shit out of her mouth. Nope. I don't know what her voice sounds like. But she got the third rose of the night. I'm like, okay. Roses, roses, roses. Last rose went to Sydney. Obviously going home is Onyeka and Nicole. See ya never, bitches, bye. See ya maybe in paradise?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Onyeka for sure. Yeah. Nicole...
maybe.
I don't know. We'll see. The next day, we're off to Vietnam. So exciting. Looks beautiful. Colton is, you know, walking out the ocean.
Vlogging. This kills me every single time.
Him and his YouTube vlogs.
Literally vlogging.
Yeah. I like that they're trying. You know, they're trying.
I like that they're trying, too. They're trying. I thought that was a really, it's like the most genuine they could do.
They're trying. Let's leave it at that. The ladies arrive at their new resort, and they remind us that it's 2 weeks until hometowns. That shocked me.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I forgot. I forgot that we're even going to hometown. Like, when you're in the middle of this, like, you forget what the end is like.
What the end is like, yeah. Also, because it just, all of this feels like play. Like, I can't believe that he's actually going to introduce anybody or we're going to meet anybody's parents. Like, who cares? These girls are so babies. Like, oh my God. So hometowns is still a thing. It's happening in 2 weeks. We also are reminded how there's several girls who still haven't had a one-on-one. We have Katie, cute black girl, who's a dancer. Sydney, also dancer, NBA Knicks dancer. And Demi. Demi also hasn't had a date rose. Or not date rose, a one-on-one date.
A one-on-one.
And Kirpa. And so they're all just like super anxious.
Bugging.
Yeah. Bugging the fuck out. And date card arrives, and it's a one-on-one date for Hannah G. So, as you put on Twitter, Justine, there are literally 95 women of color left in the house who have not gone on a date. Who gets the one-on-one? Another blonde 12-year-old, Hannah G. Big, aka Big Eyes. Yeah. Finally learned her name. So she gets the one-on-one date. I will say she looks super cute. I loved her dress.
Yeah, she did.
It was
she
a cute, like, one-on-one dress. Like, short, flowy, you know, cute, pink and white, low cut.
Yeah, like vacation.
Like a very vacation breezy dress. I loved it.
Yeah.
She, to me, with her big-ass eyes, she looks like a Bratz doll.
Yes. Yeah, she has this a very extreme look, I think. She's, like, very thin. She's very petite. She has very big eyes. She has very small features. Like, the rest of her face is really, really tiny. And I think a lot of people are really into that now, this, like, very exaggerated look on people, which is why she's so popular on Instagram.
Yeah, she has a ton of Instagram followers. She's cute, I guess,
The other day, my coworker said that she saw her in a regular advertisement. Like, not even an advertisement on her Instagram, like an advertisement on someone else's Instagram.
What? For what?
I was like, damn, Hannah, for some clothing line. I was like, damn, Hannah, oh, okay.
Get your coin. She out here modeling. That's good. Good for her. So, for their date, they arrive at this spa and they do, like, couples facials. They do, like, this whole banana leaf, like, body treatment thing. Colton is basically just talking about how hot she is, how he's into their physical connection. And then we get this long ass montage of them making out on the massage making out in the mud bath, making out in the shower, just making out all over the place.
Everywhere.
Back at the house, Kaylin, Miss North Carolina, and Cassie are talking about how Hannah G basically has no depth and they can't figure her out. And Kaylin literally said the words "no depth." Like, that ain't even me.
Yeah,
she said no depth.
She did.
And they're basically saying, like, beyond her looks and their physical connection with Colton, they can't really figure out, like, what's, like, they can't really figure her out or, like, what's going on between them.
And I thought it was interesting that Kaylin said that Hannah has relied in her life on her looks.
Oh, she said that?
And and I was like, first of all, girl, that's rich coming from you because you
Miss North Carolina, right? What?
What? Like, being a beauty queen is obviously much more than your looks, but if people don't like how you look, you're not going to get there.
No, exactly.
So you literally also rely on your looks.
Oh, shit. I totally missed that. This girl's out here being shady boots.
Still love Kaylin, though. I can't lie.
I know. Love Kaylin to death. Hope she makes it to the top three, at least.
Me too. Final two.
Exactly. So, time for the nighttime portion of Hannah G's date. Colton says, "My connection with Hannah is so natural. I feel very good." I can't. What we're getting. That's all we got. He says, "I want to walk away from today knowing why she is the way she is." So,
what way is that?
I don't know.
What are you talking about? Anyway, no, let's just keep going.
Right.
Oh, my Lord.
So he says, or she says, you know, opening up is not really my thing. Since she's been this way since her parents divorce and says that she kind of like shuts down. She doesn't even remember her parents telling her that they were getting a divorce because she just kind of like turned off the whole thing. Then she says, like, I want to share a story. And she's like, it's kind of a lame story, but, you know, I'll share it anyways. The story was lame. I'm sorry. It was lame.
I thought it was a weird story. I thought it was weird that she prefaced that she had no memory and then had this, like, very elaborate memory.
Right.
That's what made it whack.
Like, oh, that's interesting. She's like, I don't remember the divorce. Let me tell you this very detailed story about the divorce.
Let me tell you the moment I realized that my parents were divorced. Yeah. Like, what? Anyway, whatever. Oh, yeah. Okay, girl. All right, Hannah.
It reminded me of Leo's story from Becca's season.
No, there was nothing. Leo literally
was causing problems with him and his daddy, knowing damn well he had the picture-perfect father-son relationship and just made up a lie. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Hannah G tells a story about how... She said her dad, like, really loves his yard and, you know, cuts it 3 times a day. And she has this very vivid memory of her mom, I guess they were in a fight or something, her mom, like, driving over the yard and, like, seeing the devastation in her dad's face. And she said, that's when I knew that we weren't a family anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, her little sob story. So Colton can relate because his parents too are divorced, and for him, he was saying he never really knew why they divorced. Any talk of like divorce or anytime like one parent was talking about the other parent, he would like leave the conversation. He just like didn't want to know too much. Mm-hmm. So he like was able to like commiserate with her because they both come from like divorced families or whatever.
Yeah, which I think I've said on the show before, but I really don't like it when people exclusively commiserate about things that they haven't grown from. So mm-hmm. if you have this sob story and you haven't grown from anything, that's not a reason to keep you around. In my head, right, if mm-hmm. I was the Bachelorette, I would mm-hmm. not want someone to tell me a terrible story and then they don't say how they've become a better person. And it just seems like she used it as something just relate to him and seem maybe different or stand out. But mm-hmm. not to see how she's like Hannah G. Is this G?
Right. This is G. Hannah G. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's why I said her story was lame. Not to like clown her and her like hurt and pain from her divorced parents.
Yeah,
but like,
right.
Why do they always have to come with some sad sob story from some memory from when they're 8 years old? Like, why can't she tell something more like timely to who she is today, or like give some perspective into who is Hannah G, this 23-year-old woman? Like, why does the story always have to be some sob story to kind of show another side of you? Why does it have to be something sad? Can't they just provide context in other ways? Talk about your family, your friends. You want to talk about stories and experiences that like have affected you, but I feel like they always come for the sob story hook and I'm just like over it.
You know,
there's more ways to relate to somebody.
Yeah. You know who I don't think had one was Becca M. I feel like Becca M didn't really have like a sob story situation.
Sob story. Yeah, not really. She kind
of
rode out on her personality.
Always
she asking Ari like good ass questions. Uh-huh.
Yep. And she didn't really have like a career, and she had a pixie haircut, and like that was it.
Right. She had a lot going for her more than these girls.
Yeah, she did. You're right.
Yeah. So, anyways, after Hannah G tells her story, she gets, obviously, she gets the date rose. It doesn't take much.
Obviously, but, like, not.
Pretty, be blonde, and have little depth to you. And he's, right there on your team. So, they leave the table, they go and dance and kiss in front of this, like, live Vietnamese band, I guess.
Did you feel it? I felt it and knew in my bachelor chakra that they would have some double doors opening. I knew it.
I didn't even notice the double doors.
There were double doors.
They were, I guess.
Little swinging doors, or maybe they were two palm leaves. I don't know.
Two palm leaves.
They had double doors.
Oh my God.
With a little band playing.
A little band. At least it wasn't like a lame Instagram.
That's
no
what
name.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, if they have a Vietnamese country singer.
No. Here, or if Tennille Arts pops up again, I'm done. I'm done.
Oh my God, they're Florida's Vietnam. Oh my God, I turned my TV off. No way.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. Nah. So yeah, anyways, they dance and kiss and have a grand old time, and Colton says, I can definitely say I'm falling in love with Hannah, which I don't, that was one of the most boring one-on-one dates probably ever.
Yeah, I don't really know what he's falling in love with.
What do you they made out, they had a bonding moment over divorce, and then they made out some more. Like,
yep.
What else? I didn't get much else from her. I didn't get much else about their strong connection. Like, what are you falling in love with? I'm so perplexed.
No. Mm-mm. I think he falls in love with, like, the ease of these women. So any woman that seems like it's really not easy a challenge to be around them, or they, like, open up real quick, but they, like, preface it by saying they're only opening up with him. It's like, you know what, right. I mean? They're, like, making it real easy for him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right, well, Angie. Mm-hmm. Back at the house, these bitches are hungry for a one-on-one date. My God. You have Sydney, Katie, Kirpa, and Demi, who all have not been on one-on-one dates. So they are just, like, fiending, sitting on the edge of their seats. So another date card arrives, and it's for a group date. And everyone's name is on the card except for Kirpa.
Yay!
Kirpa's getting the one-on-one. Shout out to Kirpa, who we literally have never seen even talk with Colton. I don't know what her voice sounded like before this episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know nothing about her connection with Colton. Like, nada.
They couldn't but even finally, tell us why there was a Band-Aid on her chin.
We'd even get the explanation for the Band-Aid. Shit, they don't give Kirpa no play.
Nothing. It's crazy.
So I'm excited to see the one-on-one date, finally. So Kirpa's all excited she got her one-on-one date. Meanwhile, the rest of these girls are crying left, right, and center. Sydney's pissed. She's in a corner bawling. Demi is crying her little... She looked like a straight elementary school, like, student. With her cry face. She's younger looking and younger.
Crying with a heart, like, in her locker. Like, oh my God.
Exactly. So she crying, she ain't get a date. Katie, she not even crying. She just look pissed. Here we go again, another group date. So it's time for the group date. Demi says she's going on her sixth group date and she's fucking over it. If you have not been on a one-on-one date at this point, you literally don't even know who Colton is.
No. It's like you're nor texting does he know and talking with someone, and, like, you see them at, like, the cafe, and then they propose to you 6 weeks later.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the guy you met in college. You, like, you barely acknowledge each other in person, but you text all the time.
All the time.
And then within 2 weeks, he's, like, asking you to send me, and you, like, don't even know each other.
Yeah. And you, you have to introduce him to your parents.
Right. So it sucks. Like, I hear Demi going on these date, you know, group date after group date. Like, you can't even form any real bond with him because you don't get that one-on-one crucial time. So anyways, the girls, they leave for their date. They arrive in this park. And Colton is, like, fake fighting these two Vietnamese men. And the girls learn that they are going... The girls find out that they're going to learn Vo Vinh Op, which is like a mixed martial arts. And so they kind of learn some moves. And of course, because they have to turn everything into a competition, they pair the girls off. And now they must fight in front of each other. And Chris Harrison has appeared. As well as this really hot guy who is the host of Bachelor Vietnam.
Shout out to you guys.
Can we swap him out or swap out Chris Harrison and bring the boy in?
Looking like an old coach bag, Chris Harrison. Oof.
And shout out to Bachelor Vietnam. That was the season with the two women who were like, fuck the Bachelor. We just gonna fall in love with each other and go live our beautiful lesbian life. And they left the show and they are still together, to this day.
Yep.
So yeah, the girls are paired off to fight. Heather and Sydney go first. Heather is just high-pitched screeching the entire time. Then we have Demi versus Katie. Now keep in mind, neither one of these girls have had a one-on-one date. They are pissed that they are on their sixth group date. They just have a lot of pent-up anger. And they were putting on their gear and, like, padding and stuff, looking like they was both about to go into a war.
Yeah. Because both of them like Colton a little bit more than I think Sydney did.
Yeah, I could see that. Katie, you know? Katie got one of the first kisses on the night, on the date night one.
Yeah.
So, they they really had some connection there and really, you know, into him. So... so yeah, these girls are going into war, the bell rings, and Demi and Katie literally start beating the shit out of each other.
Pummeling each other. You guys, this was so bad.
Just going to ham. They really did. Plus, they just pissed that they're on this fucking group date, so they're like, if I'm gonna beat anyone or get some anger out, I'm gonna do it right here in this ring.
I know, because all you're supposed to do is like sit around, look pretty, and drink nonstop.
Yeah, and share your time with Colton with 10 other girls on the date. Sucks. So mid fight, apparently Katie like hit Demi in the face. So Demi's pissed. She's trying to fight back, and in the end,
was
somehow,
she trying to fight back? That was her trying to fight back.
That was her. Oh, she's tiny. God. She only get butt so much out. She's teeny tiny.
Jesus.
So she's trying to fight back. She somehow ended up on the ground. I couldn't tell if she got pushed by Katie or she fell or just threw herself on the ground and forfeited and fucking over this. but yeah, so that was the date. Time for the little cocktail party. Sydney starts off saying her little confessional. I wasn't excited for today's date because these group dates kind of suck.
Yeah.
Just being honest. She's friggin' over all of this.
Of course.
Colton pulls Tasia first. Miss Tasia here. Miss Tasia might win this thing, y'all.
She really might. Tasia might
come out with a W. So she says she, this week has been very hard for her and she's starting to get scared because she's, you know, been burned before. Remember, we have to remember Tasia just went through a full-on divorce.
Like, recently.
Year. Not that long ago. So she says to Colton, like, I just want you to have, you know, that curiosity about me, too. And, you know, just put out there, like, that I want to get to know you and, like, ask questions and all that stuff.
And I want you to get to know me back.
Right. Not just because he's the bachelor, he's like on the hot seat all the time, but it's like, I'm also a person evaluating your ass. Like, you can ask me things too. So Colton says, you know, every time I'm around you, I want to know you better. And he tells her, like, he appreciates their one-on-one because basically, like, he's never been in the situation where he's dated so many people and everyone's kind of looking up to him as, like, the bachelor. Like, he should know exactly what he's doing. And basically admits that he doesn't have a fucking clue what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So. It was a nice little, like, vulnerable, you know, moment for Colton, I guess. Back at the girls, Katie she just looks sick and tired. And is just tired and sick of looking sick and tired.
Of being sick and tired.
And she's just talking in her confessions about how terrible this week has been. Mainly just a lot of uncertainty and... Again, just sitting around on another group date, like not getting to progress in the way that she would want with Colton. So she sits finally to have her one-on-one with Colton. And she says to him that, like, her biggest fear of all of this is being misunderstood. Because particularly in this week, she's been very, like, blah, kind of monotone. And that's when she starts to cry because she's like, I would hate to go home with you thinking I didn't try. Because she's having, like, an off week, basically.
Right, right. And this is as much emotion as she can let herself have, is to try to, like, self-soothe.
Self-soothe, yeah. Because when you're on these group dates, shit's exhausting. You have to be turned on all the time.
Yeah.
And so you're going on your sixth group date, and it's like, I don't have the energy for this shit anymore. And I'm stressed because you ain't giving me no damn validation. What the fuck am I doing here? So yeah, she's just kind of going through it. Colton reassures her. I don't even know. He was talking a lot of fluff and, like, made her laugh, basically. So they're back in good graces. Hannah B. My favorite. Sporting another fuchsia outfit. That's fuchsia's her color. She has her little one-on-one time with Colton. She's being her usual annoying, smiley self.
Oh, my God. She's like, what are those dolls that are on strings? You know what I'm talking about? The little marionette doll. That's what she reminds me of. She's, like, always smiling and, like, jumping. like trying just to get attention.
Literally nothing of substance ever.
No talking.
And this is not even me clowning her because y'all know I can't stand her ass, but like she literally said nothing of substance during their one-on-one. I have nothing to report out. So meanwhile, Sydney and Tasia are off to the side talking. Sydney is upset and confused. She said Colton claims he's looking for a wife, yet he keeps getting blinded by all the like cute little fun girls, aka.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
She calls them the nice, shiny things. And literally as she's saying this, her and Tasia look off into the distance, and there's fucking Hannah B doing like kung fu moves or something with Colton. Just like literally exactly what Sydney is talking
what
about.
What Sydney's saying. Yeah.
Just Hannah B just immature and just coming with nothing. Meanwhile, Sydney's sitting here with all kinds of substance to her, and Colton literally doesn't even see her.
Amazing qualities. A career that she left behind.
Left behind to be
here.
In
New York City to be there.
And can get no play.
No.
And she said, she said, quote, he's looking around at all the nice, shiny things, but he's not looking at me. Which sucks. So Sydney finally has her one-on-one time with Colton. And she says, she just comes like that out of hell, just very direct. Today was very hard for me. Last night I was super upset and emotional. I don't know. I don't want to have this conversation with you on a group date, but this is the only time I get. So is there a reason you're not giving me a one-on-one? What am I missing? Just flat out just ask the questions that any person going on their sixth group date wants to know. Like, what am I doing here? Why am I not getting a one-on-one? So Colton gives his same blanket answer. Like, every relationship is different. And
oh, my God.
This does not help anyone. No. This is not making her feel any better. You're not answering her question.
Exactly. Right. Oh, my God. I wish she would have said what I know she was thinking, which is that she can't dumb herself down to be like one of these other girls who's out here not challenging him and, you know, just saying whatever on the surface level that he can handle. Like, she's not going to do that because she's the badass. Sydney the badass. Exactly. But, you know, mm-hmm. It's just The Bachelor, whatever. Whatever.
So she flat out asks him, like, can you get there with me? Like, do we... Basically asking, like, do we actually have a shot? Like, do I need to stay around? What's the deal? And he answers and says, I'm trying. Lame as shit. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Poor Sydney. Got no validation in that conversation.
Mm. So, well, she actually did. She got validation for Sydney.
For her, exactly. Just gave her Sydney all the answers. Colton. Yeah, that's true. Gave her all the answers she needs to know for herself, but not really for them.
Yep.
So she says in her little confessional, like, I know he can see something in all of us, but I don't understand how he can see it so easily in other people, but not me. Like, honestly, this cast of women is, like, the worst cast to be in if you're, like, a Sydney or an Elise.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing, first of all, but pretty young blonde girls who don't actually make you feel insecure about yourself.
No.
You just feel ridiculous standing next to them.
Like, right.
She's not questioning herself or her worth. She's just questioning what the fuck she's doing here. Because he's blinded by these girls. They keep getting roses and one-on-one dates all the time. Meanwhile, she's sitting here competing next to them at a rose ceremony. And it's like, I know I'm ready for marriage. What is she? 22 years. She hasn't been kissed. What is going on? Colton, explain this madness because it's making no sense.
And she knows. I think her and Elise both kind of broke that fourth wall in their head and knew that those girls would never date the same guy they would date in real life.
Exactly.
So they're probably like, you know what? If I bring this back down to earth, which I'm going to have to get to in another 6 weeks, I would never date this guy who would date Hannah B.
Right. Like, if he's going after her, then there's no way that this guy is for me.
It's not going to work.
She and I are completely different human beings. So
Yeah.
Very frustrating. Demi gets her little one-on-one time and she gets to call her mama, who is home from federal prison.
Tina.
Tina. They have a little chit-chat with Tina, who is reintegrating back into civilian life after sermon time in the slammer. Back at the group, Sydney's pissed. She's like literally at the edge of her seat, just seething. She's looking around at Demi. She's looking at Hannah B., who's fooling around doing something dumb. And she says, it's clear. I think she named Demi and Hannah B., actually, and said it's clear that they're not ready for marriage.
Yeah, and the camera definitely zoomed in on their faces. OD.
Zoomed dead ass into the two of them. And she said, like, I want to be very clear with Colton that in order for him to find a wife, he needs to make some changes. If not, I gotta go. So Sydney ends up grabbing Colton again, and she says to him flat out, like, I need more. And Colton says, you know, everyone says I'm the bachelor, I should have it all figured out, but I don't have it figured out. Like, he keeps doing this in this episode, like, I'm the bachelor, but I don't know what I'm doing, like.
Right. He keeps, as if that sort of insecurity is going to make the other girls feel more secure.
Any better. No. Makes me feel less secure that you're up here way flailing and have no idea what the fuck you're doing. Like, actually, coming into this, shouldn't you know what you want? What the fuck?
Right. It actually validates the fact that I should go home.
Yeah. In actuality, you know what? The fact that you have no idea what's going on, I'm actually going to leave now because you are making me feel so insecure and not safe in this situation. Thanks, but no thanks. So Sydney says to him, now that this I love, very coded speak. She says, the choices you've been making, you're taking easier choices. And if that's what you want, go for it. If it was right between you and I, then I think it would have been easier. But because of that, I need to go home. So the easier choices, the shiny new things, like she's not naming Hannah B, Hannah G, Heather, all that stuff, but we know what we're picking up, what you're putting down, Sydney. We know what you saying. In this moment she actually got my invite to the cookout.
Me too, girl.
Why so?
So for me, I don't know how to speak in coded language, and she coded the fuck out of that whole sentence. How she said, oh, it's the easier choices. And then when she said, if it was easier between me and you, it would have been right. Mm. Meaning, like, I'm just not the one for you. That's right. What she meant to say.
Had I, back to what you said before, had I dumbed myself down, then this would have been easy. But it's not easy between us because I'm a challenge, so I'm going to exit to the left.
Thanks. Yeah, because I'm self-actualized and I want to get married. So I'm going to go.
I'm going to leave, thanks.
And then just like any girl who rightfully sends herself home, as hard as that I would imagine that to be, will always get my invite to the cookout because that's really mm-hmm. hard to do. And mm-hmm. you have to be very self-aware mm-hmm. and confident
yeah.
to do something mm-hmm. like that.
I what thought she went, I gave the invite to the cookout because I liked the way she exited. It was almost, mm-hmm. it was a lot kind of stronger in a way than Elise seemed kind of like she was crying. Well, Elise she was kind had of teetering on the edge. Oh, that's true.
Elise had a liked him.
So she was definitely more invested. That's a good yeah. point, actually. Sydney, she was very clear. She was like, look, I'm a bomb-ass yeah. woman. She's been sitting here wasting time with these little girls, giving them and all the attention.
Right.
And you know what? This ain't for me. I'm leaving. Goodbye. Good luck. Like,
yeah.
she just kind of was like, this is not working for either one of us, so...
Right. Like, literally, the Knicks are back waiting for me. What?
Right. Like, season's about to start. I gotta go. So, I also love her little warning. So, mm-hmm. as he walks her out, she says to him, this is really where she got my invite to the cookout, actually. She says to him, there's some amazing women in there. Find them. Don't be distracted by shiny things, especially now. Love the little like foreshadowing, little drop a little right? hints,
I feel like
nuggets.
A thunderclap should have came.
Right. Right, to just punctuate what she said. You hear boom in the background. I love it. She knows her worth. She knows mm-hmm. the worth of some of the amazing women in the house. And she's yep. telling him, like, look, I'm leaving right now on the coattails of Elise. I'm out. You're now left with even more shiny things in the house. But they're yeah. trickled in with some amazing ass women, and you need to find some time to find them, or else they're gonna be exiting right behind me too. And this is getting yep. ridiculous. So loved Sydney. Peace out to Sydney. Shout out to Sydney.
Yeah, shout out to Sydney.
Yeah. So Colton returns to the women, grabs the group date rose, and gives it to Tasia. Now, did you notice Hannah B's face when that happened?
I tried not to.
So she had her face was priceless. She had her usual perma smile, mm-hmm. but she had like a shocked look in her eyes.
Them eyes be telling it. They didn't tell the truth on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was looking at Tasia like, one, who the hell is Tasia? Is the way she was looking at her. Just like shocked, like, who is this? Like, she was so just like blown back by this other being God. Who was getting yes. the group date rose and not her. But she had her yeah. same creepy ass pageant perma smile the whole time.
I know.
Freaky.
Yeah.
So Tasia gets a group date rose, then Colton literally like chucks the deuces and walks off, like
mm-hmm.
pissed. The fact that Sydney just left, like another girl just exited.
Sent herself home.
And gave him this like very ominous warning. Like there are some amazing women in the house. You must find them. Like he's just like, I don't know what's going on, and he like got out of there. The next day, time for Kirpa's date.
Yay!
Kirpa starts off her date. She does a very slow run jump hug. Did you notice this?
It was like she was in slow motion and the rest of us were watching it in real time.
Yeah. It was odd. It's usually like very fast and like woohoo, jump and the kiss.
Yeah.
Hers was like in slow motion and then they didn't kiss either. So
that's mad.
Which made me wonder, had they kissed before? Right, we haven't seen anything.
Know.
I don't know anything about Kirpa. So interesting, awkward kind of start. But anyways, they sit and they chat. Sydney was Kirpa's homegirl, so
mm-hmm.
she kind of feels, I mean, sad that she left, but then also is kind of nervous because her and Sydney were kind of in the same boat in terms of their like level of relationship with Colton. They mm-hmm. both have gotten kind of like a slow start compared to the other girls. And yeah, the fact that she's in the same boat as Sydney is just making her nervous. Like she needs this one-on-one date to go well, essentially.
Yeah.
First, want to say Kirpa is gorgeous, by the way.
So pretty.
We've like finally got some like actual screen time and got to see her face rather than just like little side glimpses of her. But yeah. She's so pretty. She has beautiful eyes. I love her like ear piercings. Shout out to Kirpa. So
and great hair color as well.
Great hair and great hair color. Yes. Nice, you know, beautiful girl. Colton says in his little voiceover, you know, we've taken leaps and bounds every week and I'm continually surprised by her.
What leaps and what bounds?
Where? When? Which weeks? We haven't seen anything.
Nothing.
Kirpa, they treated Kirpa in the same way they treated Adam and Matt from Rachel's season. We're hearing all these things out of the lead's mouth about how great they are and how strong their connection is, but literally as viewers, we've seen none of it.
Nothing. Unless you are logging into BachelorABC.go and watching those deleted, deleted scenes, you have never seen Kirpa.
Kirpa at all. It's a damn shame. So for their further date, they go snorkeling. And, you know, they're having fun. Colton's talking about how he wants to push this relationship to the next level and see where it can go. Yada, yada. Time for the nighttime portion of their date. Colton calls Kirpa, like, a slow and steady burn. And says that there's, like, a lot brewing beneath the surface, a lot to learn about her.
Has a slow and steady burn ever won?
Yep. Catherine on Sean's season. We didn't see her until episode 6. She came out of nowhere and won the whole damn thing and got two babies to speak for it and the only fucking couple still together. So so yeah, it's possible. So Colton asked Kirpa, so, you know, you've said to me previously that you've been engaged. Hello? We didn't know none of this. Really?
I'm so glad she told you.
Because that's news for us. We ain't no shit. So Kirpa tells her story. So her, you know, previous fiance, they were actually together for 8 years. And what's interesting is that he was also a virgin. He was saving himself for marriage.
Wait, and they were together for 8 years?
For 8 years.
Wow.
I mean, how old is she? 25. Yeah, so that's like our high school sweetheart kind of thing.
Yeah, and then like through college and then after
through college.
Oof, Kirpa.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Kirpa's ready. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well.
So she said that, you know, coming into the show, Colton being a virgin just like wasn't really a big deal for her at all because she had, you know, been there, done that, I guess. But she basically said they broke up because they just got so comfortable with each other that they weren't really growing. They were basically just like stagnant, like, you know, homies, it sounds like at a certain point.
Yeah.
But because she's been engaged before, she's saying like she takes this engagement very seriously because she doesn't want to end another engagement. So,
right.
Colton asks her, you know, can you see yourself getting engaged at the end of this? And she says, you know, if we keep progressing in the way that we are, then yes, I can.
Mm-hmm.
Would have totally loved to know this stuff about Kirpa like way earlier.
Right.
It's very annoying to learn these, like, very core things about someone, like, and we're on episode, like, 7.
Yeah.
And about to go into hometowns in 2 weeks.
Right. And, like, we weren't mad about it with Tasia because it was still early on and she didn't tell him already.
Right.
But this, the fact that he knew, they were trying to explain a backstory that happened.
Right. Footage that we didn't see.
That we didn't see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we've been getting dumb footage of the whole
Kayla
and B thing and went on dumb long. Right. Like,
and him just rolling around with whoever.
Exactly. Like. Lord. So Colton grabs the date rose and gives her the date rose, obviously. Mm-hmm. Told her, like, although our relationship has moved slower, it's our own pace, and I'm excited to see where things go. So she gets the group date rose, they leave, they go walk and, you know, kiss in the rain because this is The Bachelor. Back at the house, little Miss Demi in front of the mirror playing dress up. She got in some long Shirley Temple drop curls. Oh, like she going back God, to her first day of curls. School. Remember your first day of school, you get your little flat twist in the front, your little drop curls in the back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And they seem like if she combed them out, they'd be like real big.
Yep. You know, big old first day of school hairdo.
Yes.
So she got her little drop curls in, she put on her little lip gloss. She's wearing a t-shirt, pink t-shirt and shorts.
And it's a crop, isn't it a crop top too?
I don't know. Demi, you are not helping yourself. You look like you're going to summer camp. Put on an outfit. Put on a full outfit.
Oh my God.
You already look young as hell. You ain't helping yourself at all. So she decides she's going to go pay Colton a little, you know, a little night visit. So she leaves their little resort, heads over to Colton's place. He opens the door. He's obviously shocked. She greets him with, "Hi, Coco." Didn't know they were on a nickname basis. All right, yeah, damn.
Right.
So Demi says in her voiceover, "Hopefully after tonight, Colton won't be a virgin anymore."
She never said that.
Exactly.
They pieced it together from literally every, probably, what are we on, episode 7?
Uh-huh.
That's enough.
There was a time she said virgin. There was a time she said anymore. There's a time she said won't be. And they just pieced all that shit together. Colton won't be a virgin anymore after tonight. Like,
oh my God.
So ridiculous. What do they call it? Franken editing. They just pieced that shit together. Typically, going to sneak in, like doing little nightcaps, after hours, visits to the bachelorette's room. I feel like it's usually the way to go. It's usually the move.
Yeah, see, I've never seen that because I've only seen Ari as the bachelor, where Jacqueline broke up with him and then Elise broke up with him in this private little, like, one-on-one setting.
Right, private little setting. There was on Ben, not Ben Higgins, ugly Ben, the wine guy. I'm sorry. I was so annoyed that he was the bachelor because he was literally just not attractive.
Yeah, he wasn't cute.
But on his season, infamously, the girl who won, Courtney, she was known for doing a secret little nightcap, and they went skinny dipping and allegedly, supposedly had sex in the ocean. And homegirl won. So there are times that these little secret nightcaps can actually, you know, pull out a W in the end.
Yeah.
Not for Demi, but not this wasn't the move for Demi at all. So Demi and Colton sit to have a chat. And she says, you know, "I've been missing you. I just wanted to check in on you because I know you've had a rough week." And basically she just lays it out to him, like, how strongly she's been feeling and excited by, you know, their relationship. And then Demi decides to drop the very strategic, "I am falling in love with you," hoping that she was going to secure a rose.
Yeah.
She ended up securing my Becky of the Week instead. Now, y'all know I love me some Demi. I've been riding for Demi.
Love her.
But Demi, this was a bold-faced lie, and you know it. You have not been on a one-on-one. You are not falling in love with anyone. There's no way in hell. And Colton himself knows that. Hence why he sent you home swiftly after you said this. She pulled a Jean Blanc from Becca's season.
Yes, and you know I was thinking about that. That scammer.
She needed to learn. You can't drop the "I'm falling in love with you" before you've been on a one-on-one date. It's not gonna work. All you're gonna do is freak out the person, or they're just gonna have a realization like, "Oh wow, my feelings are not there. You need to leave right here in this moment." And that's exactly what happened. Colton told her, like, "I appreciate that. You know, and I've been thinking about us, and I just, you know what? I just don't know if I can get there. I don't know if I see us at the end."
Right. You say to someone, they're falling in love with you. And then they say back, "I appreciate that.
I appreciate
that. But you have to go home.
But you need to leave right now."
God.
And he did the whole, like, "I can't put you through a rose ceremony."
Yeah.
So I'm going to need you to skedaddle. So Demi, she's obviously shocked and appalled. She had this whole little plan, you know, her and her little producer cooked this shit up in the confessional room. Yes. She gonna go in there and lay that love you and secure the bag. Nope. Not at all. So she, instead, is going home. Colton walks her out. And she goes back to the little bungalow with the girls, and she's crying and, you know, talking to them about her plan basically went awry. And she, you know, we hear her in the voiceover say, "This is the story of my life. No one ever loves me back," which Very dramatic, Demi. I can't.
Very. You're also like 23.
You're also 23. You have
plenty more love left.
Yes. You have many more chances, girl. You'll be okay. You'll and also, okay. Like, we'll see you on Paradise and you'll find somebody else to, like, run amok with. Sad to see Demi leave, you know? She was a producer pick I that know. Just got extended very long.
Yeah. I really liked having her on the show.
Uh-huh. She added some spice to the show. Mm-hmm. But, yes, we see her leaving. She's hopping down the stairs. She had her little knapsack on her back.
She did.
She literally had a knapsack on.
Oh, my God. And she had on those white sandals. And I don't know how anyone else feels, but a white shoe really just does it for me.
Yeah.
I
can't besides a white sneaker. A white shoe. Like a white sandal, a white heel, a white flat.
It's oh, not. My God. A white mule.
Ugh. A white mule? No. No, no, no.
I'll tell you later who's wearing white mules, so I have to be forced to be around. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Demi, girl, them white shoes. And they were, like, glowing in the dark. I was like,
oh, Lord, Demi. She had the little light-up shoes. You stomp three times, the lights come. Demi, that parting outfit was just not. Yeah, she literally looked like she was going on a camping trip with her Girl Scout crew or something. Anyway, it's time for the cocktail party. Now, Tasia, Kirpa, and Hannah G all have roses. Mm-hmm. Colton, now he's had a whirlwind of a week. People leaving. He sent, at the top of the episode, he sent Anyeka and Nicole home.
Yeah.
And he basically, he's like scared of making the wrong choice. Cause
and didn't Demi tell him, like, oh, there's not the girls here for you?
Yes, sorry. So, yes, Demi also gave a little cryptic, like, I don't know exactly what she said, but a little warning of, like, there's some girls who aren't ready for you. So that's the second person.
Two warnings.
Yes, now two. So he's fucking, like, scared as shit as to what the hell's going on in this house. So the ladies are all sitting around. They're waiting for the cocktail party. And then good old Chris Harrison walks into the room and obviously announces that there's not going to be a cocktail party. And they're going straight into the rose ceremony. So there's five girls who need roses. Only four roses to give out.
Okay.
Katie says, you know, although Demi left, there are still girls here who are still not ready. The camera immediately flashes to Hannah B. and Cassie. Did you notice that?
Yes. I thought it was odd that it went to Cassie.
Yeah. They're throwing her in that loop, too. Anyone who's just young and blonde, there's a bunch of them left. So yeah. They're, anytime someone says not ready, the camera just can just flash to, you know, a plethora of women. So first rose goes to good old Hannah B.
Why?
I don't understand.
You know what? Now that I think about it, if the first rose went to Hannah B. and I was Katie, I might have just left.
Just took your heels off in that moment and just shuffled down past Colton and straight into the Suburban.
I'm not going to let you eliminate me.
Right. That's a good point. Like, I'm not doing this.
This is just preposterous. Mm-hmm. I have got to go.
Oof, first no. rose. Anyway, to be.
Continue. Good. Yes.
Next rose goes to Caitlin. Third rose goes to Cassie. Now the final rose comes down to Katie or Heather. Heather, Miss 22, she's now been kissed. Final rose. Final rose goes to Heather.
And did anyone see what Heather had on?
What'd she have on?
She had on a one sleeve, but it was a long sleeve, like ribbed crop top and a matching white skirt. And they were both like eggshell. They weren't quite white. I was very upset with that outfit. I was just like, girl, what you got on? That should be another segment that we do on here. What you got on?
What you got on? Exactly. So Heather, oh, her little white outfit, grabs the last rose. I literally screamed. I was just like, wow, really? Yeah. This is what we do in Colton. This is what we're doing. We're sending home Katie over Heather.
And you
were questioning Heather. Who's here for you and for the right reasons and who's ready. Heather.
And like, not even for the right reasons. You really think that Heather is better for you as a life partner?
Partner.
Than Katie?
He ain't looking for a life partner. He's looking for a girlfriend. That's why. Mm. That's exactly why. He don't know what the hell life partner means. If that's the case, then he wouldn't be picking people like Heather, who has never even been in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't. So Colton walks Katie out. She's obviously, like, a bit surprised and upset. But then she says to him, she's like, you know what? I knew. I could tell by your body language during our last one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Which just totally sucks that she didn't get a one-on-one date.
I know.
And it just sucks even more because she even said in her one-on-one time, like, I don't want to go home without you thinking I didn't try.
Because
she had an off week. And lo and behold, she goes home in her one little off week. It fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also sucks that we didn't get to see a one-on-one with Katie because I felt like since she got one of the first kisses on the first night, I always thought she was kind of like, I want to say a front runner, but like someone that he would have been potentially interested in.
Top five.
Right. Like, and now we get no footage of a one-on-one. We don't get to see what their relationship could have been.
Because the gimmicks are still here.
Yes. And what's so annoying.
It's so aggravating.
All we see is his relationships with like Heather, Hannah, Cassie, who all look the same, frankly, and their relationships are at the same level of depth. Like, these girls aren't wowing me with personality and backstory and anything.
Nope.
And so his relationship with all four of those girls feel and look the same. I don't. I don't even know how he's confused. You know why he's confused? Because they all feel and look the same. He's having a hard time kind of making a distinction between which girl is better for him because they all feel the same to him.
The same. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what it is. Anyway, so Colton, you know, his reply to her, because she said, like, I can sense by your energy yesterday, saying, you know, there was more to get out of you that I just didn't get, which I don't know if he was trying to put the blame on her or I'm not sure what the hell that was. Is that saying, like, we just
like
didn't get time?
All.
I didn't like the way he put that. Like, whose fault is that you even get what you can get?
Right.
But yours.
Sounds like some time management skills, Colson.
Right. Or you should have gave her a damn one-on-one instead of spending all your one-on-ones on every damn girl in the house who looks and is exactly the same person. Ugh. So then, Katie, as she's leaving, another ominous message from Colton. She looks at him and says, I know who's ready in there, and there's some girls who aren't ready. Like, again, these girls are just leaving, dropping hints, dropping little nuggets of wisdom for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she packs up and leaves in the Suburban. Sad to see Katie go. Bye, girl.
Very.
And Colton says in his interview, so he's doing an interview with a producer, and he's like, that's the third person who said that there's girls in there who aren't ready. He said, when Sydney said it, I thought she meant Demi. Mm-hmm. Then I sent home Demi, and she said it. And now Katie, and he looks at the producer, and he's like, what am I missing? Am I missing something?
This is where Colton got my Becky of the Week.
Okay. Yes. Great moment. Yes.
I cannot believe that he can't see. Or I can't believe he's willing to make himself look this stupid on TV.
This dumb. You really acting like you don't see, my dude. Are you serious?
Because the fact that you have that giraffe in there who is still in high school telling you that she is ready for marriage before she kissed you or anybody else, and you're saying I don't know who could be in there who's not right for me. My guy, oh my god, after you were literally rolling around in a mud bath with the other ones, like, you can't
be saying
god.
This am I missing
it's just,
something
it makes him, it's just yeah you are. Yes, indeed you are, sir. Mm-hmm. You are missing something.
Your common sense is what you're missing.
Your common sense, discernment, just wisdom, intuition. It's all gone.
All gone.
Oh, my God.
I can't. So Colton, he goes back to the... So after Katie gives him this message, he goes back to the girls and does what he does. Gathers them all around. So Katie... is the third person to tell me verbatim. There are girls here who aren't ready. Word for word delivers what she said. Classic Colton.
Yeah. He loves just throwing somebody up the river.
Just
like,
throwing
so
somebody under
said.
The bus. So what she has said, and she's the third person to tell me. So now all the girls know that Demi threw their ass under the bus, and then Sydney said some shit. So he drops that on the girls and tells them, like, that scares me that there's girls here who aren't ready. And all the girls are looking around like, oh my God, who's he talking about? Like, what? Mm-hmm. So now Tasia says in her confessional, Colton wants someone to spill the tea. Mm-hmm. Was she implying that there's, like, tea to be spilled?
Oh, yeah, because I'm sure there were girls there who have, like, full journals with social media strategies, like, waiting to... They're, like, swapping notes.
And they're like, not... Oh, yeah. They're very young. They ain't the brightest, so they're probably saying all this shit to each other. So Tasia has the dirt. Like, there's definitely dirt on somebody's in the house. Mm-hmm. So she implied that there was some tea that needed to be spilled. And then at the end, I don't know if you caught this, her and Kirpa seem to be kind of like chummy.
Yeah.
Like they're trying
like
to.
It's going to be us two at the end.
Yeah. She was like, let's take this thing, girl. Watch. It's going to be the us two at the end. I was like, ooh. So y'all about to throw somebody under the bus, spill all the tea, and then just like skip along to the finale. I love that.
It's going to be you
two. Those two. I would die. I would love it.
Oh my God. It's two minority. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I can't even picture that future because that just seems so like what? But
yeah,
honestly,
it seems so unattainable.
But Tasia, she's really a front runner. I would really think so. Kirpa, we just got to learn her today, but there's something there. She said she's a slow burn, so she could be the dark horse that comes and does something. We'll have to see. But that was the episode, my friends.
That was it.
So we did get a preview. We got a full preview for the remainder of the season. Mm-hmm. So next week, we get a footage. Colton, he's coming down the stairs. He's looking pissed. He looks at the camera, pushes the camera out the way. Mm-hmm. Then we have Colton saying, I feel more confused than ever. I'm headed into hometowns and I have no clue what I'm doing.
Because this man wants to go home as well. He also wants to send himself in a Suburban and go home.
Oh my god, he wants to quit. He does not. Colton don't know what the hell is going on,
because this is when it gets really hard.
This is the moment around this middle part of the season. Mm-hmm. Heading into hometowns is where it definitely gets difficult. But when you're him, where you have four girls who are literally clones of each other, it's hard to pick one. You had multiple girls who were boss ass bitches who left.
Yeah.
And then you yourself came in here not knowing what the fuck you want. Of course you're confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyways, we get more footage of Colton crying, saying, I don't deserve to be anybody's backup plan. I don't know what that's about. That makes me feel or predict as if a piece of tea is coming out on somebody about a girl who maybe has a boyfriend back home.
Boyfriend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that is going to potentially come out. Mm-hmm. And then we finally get Colton jumping the fence. It's happening, guys, next week. Running into the dark abyss out of ABC networked cameras and straight home to Colorado because he's
gone. Back to Colorado.
Cannot wait. We finally get the jump in the fence scene next week. Then we get more footage. Chris Harrison saying, up until now, nobody knew the truth. Again, something huge is about to drop on one of these girls, I feel like.
Yeah.
We see Cassie getting driven away in the SUV crying.
Yeah. Yo.
What is
that's
that?
Wild.
Cassie
that's
looks
crazy.
Like she's going home.
Home. Yeah.
Which is just, maybe she's the girl that we got the tea on. I don't know. Because how the hell is Cassie going? Isn't she like the number one seed right now? Apparently.
Yeah.
We see Hannah B walking alone in darkness. You know, doing what she does. Which is like weird shit. Mm-hmm. Then we get a little bit more of like an uplifting preview for the rest of the season. We see Colton skydiving with Tasia. We get lots of footage of Tasia, actually. We get lots of footage of Kaylin, so I feel like she's going to be around as well. Mm-hmm. We get Hannah B. meeting Colton's parents.
How?
That better be next week. That better be a weird date next week where she gets to meet the parents, because I can't bear to listen to her any longer or bear to see her or listen to her on a hometown with Colt, like going home with Colt. Like, I can't. Mm-mm. I can't even. No. I'm done with her. Mm-mm. We get Tasia saying, I'm in love with Colton. Mm-hmm. We get Colton saying, I'm headed into fantasy suites with someone I'm falling in love with. Who's that?
Which is everyone.
Okay. Right. And then we get that infamous footage of Colton standing beside this beautiful castle with a ring box and saying, I'm getting down on one knee and asking her to be my wife.
Yeah, he said that, but you know, I think there's a necklace or a bracelet in there. It's a friendship bracelet. Okay.
Oh, God. A little brooch. A friendship brooch.
Not a brooch. Yo, I would stab him in the eye if he gave me a brooch.
A brooch. But it looks like he might potentially get down on one knee for somebody. We'll see. And that was the episode, friends. Yep, that was it. We'll be back next week for the fence jumping episode. That's the one we've all been waiting for. What the hell is going to send Colton jumping over his big ass, hurling over a fence, running away from cameras? I cannot wait to see what the hell that's about to be.
So excited.
Cannot wait. But as always, please rate, review, subscribe. Mm-hmm. Hit us up on Twitter. Our handle's the number 2 BLK Girls, the number 1 Rose.
And you can email us at the number 2 Black Girls, the number 1 Rose @gmail.com.
Yep. And hit us up on Twitter. Tag us in your story. You're listening to us right now. If you like the episode, screenshot it. Put it in your story. Tell the world that we exist. And we'll be back next week.
See you next week, guys.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.